The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Are you forgetful, folks? Okay, I'm just curious. So I don't know if I told you guys this. I know I shared it Wednesday night. One of the things that you all did for me, I think it was my first year here, my Bible was a little bit wore out. It was a little rough looking on the outside. And so you guys got me in touch and helped me get my Bible rebound. And I loved it. Man, I was so excited when I got it back from the guy. I was like, this. It just felt comforting. It was like nice. I just wanted to hold it. But it did some weird things too. When he did it, he took it and he took my pages that I had writing in, because I have writing all over my Bible. And he took them out, but he put new pages in. And I was like, that's cool, but the pages weren't the thing. It was the writing that was on there. One of the things, it's the second thing I have written in all my Bibles. Focus on what matters, and focus on what's going to matter. And I keep that at the front of my Bible, because here's the thing. I'm a forgetful person. They didn't have this term when I was a kid, but now I've come to think I'm the poster child for it. ADD, y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, I can start walking one direction and all of a sudden I see something really pretty. And it's like, man, I kind of want to go see that. That looks kind of cool. And I realized it even more when I had kids. Because I know it was in me, but man, when I see it in them, and again, I'm not going to talk about any of them in particular because that's mean and you don't call my kids out, but you guys know who they are. But one, man, I used to do it with Nora, she's too old for this now. But other ones I'll be having a conversation with, and this is their face. Hey, where's my nose? I make them point at my nose, and that way I know they're looking at me. But then here's what happens. Halfway through the conversation, their eyes do this. Pretty. Oh yeah, I'm listening, Dad. And where's my nose? And I make a point to my nose again. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to him. And all of a sudden, I see this. Ooh. And that's when I realized, like, my ADD was passed on to them, and they probably have it. And we all really have that in some point in our life, don't we? Anybody have a hard time staying focused sometimes? Yeah, we all do. It was interesting. I was talking to, I had a really cool opportunity this past week. I don't know, but I got to talk to two different missionaries, and they were going back to the field. One was from Ukraine and one was from the Middle East. And as I was talking to them, I was talking to him about their safety, and I mean, you know, the one in the Ukraine, he was talking about how they were bombs, like they had to seek shelter while bombs were being, you know, coming off in their town and stuff. And the one who's going to the Middle East is going to a country where, if you're a Christian, you can be put to death. Like it's still within their law and stuff. And as I was talking to him, I was like, man, aren't you ever worried about your safety? Can we pray for your safety? And they both said the same thing that I thought was awesome. They said, don't pray for our safety. Pray that the mission is complete. Because when the mission's complete, then I don't have to be in danger anymore. And I was like, that's a cool mindset. I never thought of it like that. And so this morning, church, I want to talk just to you and I about what's our mission. What's the thing that we have to remain focused on until it's complete? What's your mission as a follower of Christ? And then maybe, just maybe, it's time to renew your mission. I don't know why, but a couple of months ago, if you ever want to know what's going on in my head, for one, man, you need to walk around our church. Our church is beautiful. We got some good stuff going on. We got lots of work being done. You should go check out all the different things that are going on around our church. You should also go down to the office building, because there's still work being done in there. And right now it's about 89 degrees when we left this morning, because they just put a new air conditioning in. 86. 96. Okay. Whew. That's hotter than I thought. But if you ever want to know what's going on in my mind, there's in my office I have all these calendars, and that's because, again, I need to remain focused, and so I have calendars everywhere to remind me what I'm supposed to be doing, because I forget what I'm supposed to be doing a lot of times. But then in the little meeting room, there's this other little whiteboard. And that's always where I go in, and if I've got an idea, or if I've got something I'm praying about, or if I've got something I'm thinking about, I go in there and I write it on that board so I'll remember it. And about a month ago, I was trying to figure out, like, what do you say to y'all? Yeah, like, I look at you guys every week, and I love you, and man, I want the absolute best for you. I care so much about you. I want you to experience God's absolute best. And so I try to think of, like, what can I say that hopefully encourages you, that strengthens you, that gets you to the point where you're experiencing God's absolute best? And these three words came to my mind about a month ago, and it was renew your mission, renew your passion, and renew your commitment. And so I started looking at them, and this morning I want to talk to you guys about renewing your mission. And these are four things that every Christian, across the board, every Christian, this is part of your mission. Now, some people have specific missions. Some people are called to be doctors, or some people are called to be nurses, or some people are called to be teachers, or engineers, or construction workers. You have different missions that is like, this is your mission field. But every believer, every person who calls himself a follower of Christ, these are collective missions. Everyone has these same missions. The first one is this. Every Christian has a mission to glorify God with their life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 say this. With this in view, we constantly pray for you that our God will count you worthy of your calling to faith, and with his power, fulfill every desire of goodness and accomplish your every work of faith, so that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you by what you do, and in you in him, according to the precious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for time's sake, I'm not going to go through all those passages, but you have all these different passages in your notes. And with all of them, they all say the same thing. Glorify God with every aspect of your life. Now, just taking that as a blanket statement, does that sound overwhelming and big to anybody? Every aspect of my life I'm supposed to glorify God? That's really big. I don't know that I can do that. But let me tell you this. It's also the most freeing thing you'll ever grasp. Because you know what it means? Whatever you do, glorify God. You want to go fishing? Go fishing and glorify God. You want to watch football? Watch football and glorify God. You want to go hunting? Go hunting and glorify God. You want to bake? Bake and glorify God. Every aspect of your life, you glorify God. And so it's super freeing because God says, hey, listen, all I want you to do is let the Holy Spirit come live in you. And when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, then you just let him live through you. And as you live through you, you do all the things that you normally like to do. And in that, guess what? God's going to be glorified because the Holy Spirit's living in you. Freeing. Man, when I got that, I was a weird kid. I know you don't believe that, but I was a weird kid. I grew up with my dad as a pastor. We're weirdos. And like, I remember, like, as like a seventh grader, other kids were like thinking about what they wanted to do with life and stuff. And I was like, I've got to figure out what I'm going to do. I got to be in God's will. As a seventh grader, I was trying to figure out what God's will was. I couldn't spell a will probably in seventh grade. And I remember thinking about it. Man, it caused so much pressure because I felt like everything I had to do had to be God's will, right? God, can I go to this restaurant and eat? Well, I don't know if it's God's will. Can I date this girl? I don't know if it's God's will if I date this girl. That was got me out of a lot of bad relationships. But then when I realized this, God says, just be you. Hey, listen, if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to live in you, and you're allowing him to help you, guide you, direct you in your life, then I've made you you, and so all you have to do is be you and realize that you're glorifying me with your life. It became super freeing. It became super easy. It became something that I enjoyed living life because guess what? All I had to do was glorify God. It's easy. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter if I go to La Herradura. It doesn't matter if I go to, I'm trying to think of another restaurant, so I've got to start giving Chow King, China Buffet, what's it? Chow King? China Walk, there it is, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you go. Go someplace, eat lunch, and go there with a mindset, I'm going to glorify God. How awesome is that? Everything you and I get to do gets to lead to God's glory. That's awesome. And it's easy. And that's a mission that every single one of us can accomplish. But you know what happens? See, John the Baptist grasped this concept in John chapter 3, verse 30. This one may not be in your notes, but he says this. He must increase and I must decrease. See, the hard part about glorifying God with our life is all of a sudden we start to think that life is here for our enjoyment. That life is here just for our pleasure. That life only needs to happen and consists of what makes me happy. And we take our focus off of glorifying God. We take our focus off of letting everything we do lead to His glory. We put our focus on what we like best. And that's the danger. Because what has to happen is we have to decrease. In other words, it's not so much just about what I want to do. It's about His glory and what He wants to do through me. And as we decrease, then He increases. And all of a sudden, that's when the freedom comes, is we're glorifying God with everything we do, because everything we do points back to Him and it's not about us at all. A second thing that every Christian, every believer has, every Christian has a mission to share the gospel. Kelsey did a great job this morning. It's almost like she knows what I'm going to preach before I preach it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says this, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all of creation." Psalm 96:3, "Declare His glories among the nations, His marvelous works among the people." Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, "Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. And how can they call if they have not heard? And if they do not believe, how can they believe if they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Now this one I'll give you, church. When you read this one, this sounds a little bit bigger, right, of a task. Share the gospel with people. Like, what if I don't know what to say? What if I'm not good at saying things? If he could have pointed out people in my life that I need to share the gospel with and called them by name, I would have no problem with that, because then I'd be like, people, that, who's people? You know? I mean, who's people? And so when you look at this is a daunting task, but what I love about these passages is it kind of breaks it down a little bit better for us. See, the Mark passage, when you go back and you look at it, Mark chapter 16, it says, as you are going, you make disciples. And you tell all the world. You proclaim the good news. So what's that mean? People are people you're traveling with. Y'all ever have friends? And I always find this funny. Who has friends for life and who has friends for the moment? You know what I mean? There's a difference, right? You got lifelong friends that, like, man, you could not talk to them for 3 years and all of a sudden you pick up the phone and they're like, hey, what's up? And you guys pick up right where you left off. You have other friends who are friends for your in your life for a little while, but they're not permanent friends. They're here to get you through a season, you know what I mean? Guess what? You're to share the gospel with people you're doing life with. Whether they're lifelong friends or they're people who are here today and gone tomorrow. Whoever you're journeying with, whoever you're walking with, whoever is around you right now, that's the first person you're supposed to share the gospel with. Is people who, as you're going, they're going with you. The second thing that you're supposed to share the gospel with is this. It says to declare the marvelous works in Psalms chapter 96. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 says this. But But in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know what that tells me? Tells me that you sharing the gospel, how many of you have ever had this conversation with yourself? I would love to share the gospel, but I have no clue what to say. You know what those verses tell me? Best thing you can tell people about the gospel? What God's doing in your life? That's the God. That's the best thing that you can tell him. Why? Because it's personal. Because it's real. Because it means something to you. Two, because you won't forget it. If God's doing something, you know it better than anybody else. And so all you get to do is share what God's doing in your life. That's it. That's what he says. He says, listen, declare the marvelous works, what God's doing in your life. Tell people what he's doing. That's the best gospel presentation I can give you. Here's the problem. Some of us, God's not doing anything in our life. Oh, no, wait. Let me rephrase that. Some of us aren't allowing God to do anything in our life. See, God wants to. God's anxiously waiting for you to allow him to do something in your life. He's opening doors. He's giving you opportunities. But some of us keep saying no, and we keep saying, God, I'd love to share with people what you're doing, but you're not doing anything right now. No, he is. The last thing that is interesting about sharing the gospel, or that passage in Romans, is this. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 14, you know what that tells me? People want to hear it. Miss Kelsey was talking about this secret that she has. I think it was Jilly. I don't remember if it was Abby or Jilly. She said, I want to know. Look at that Romans passage again. How can they know unless somebody tells them? See, I think a lot of us get terrified when we talk about sharing the gospel because we just know that somebody's going to say no. We just know that somebody's not going to want to listen to us. But man, if you have the absolute best news there ever was, people want to hear it. We let ourselves think that people don't want to hear it. I think there are people who are waiting for somebody to come to them and say, hey, listen, this is what God's doing in my life, and this is what he'd love to do in your life. But we let ourselves be convinced they're not going to like it. They don't want to know. They're going to make fun of me. The third thing every Christian has is this. Every Christian has a mission to disciple each other. Matthew chapter 18, therefore go into all the... Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Surely I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. 2 Timothy 2:2. What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And the list goes on and on, and you have all of them there. Can I tell you one of the most exciting nights of my week? Anybody got a guess? Wednesday. Y'all know me so well. But you know why I love Wednesday nights so much? Because it's this. If there is anything that our church does that is as close to the early church in the book of Acts, it's Wednesday night Bible study. You know why? Because here's what it is. It's, I have no clue about everything about there is to know about the Bible, but this is what I do know. And I come and I share what I do know with you, and you share what you do know with me, and we all learn and we all grow and we all learn from each other. The more I've never studied the book of Acts like I have with y'all on Wednesday nights, and it's been awesome. You know what? It's reaffirmed. It's driven home in my life. This is discipleship. Every single one of you has somebody that you can teach. I can learn something from every single one of you. You can learn something from me. You can learn something from each other. My 3-year-old teaches me stuff all the time. As a Christian, you have a mission to disciple each other. You want to know the best reason to be a church? It's not because they sing pretty. It's not because it looks pretty. The best reason that you need to be involved in church is because you can't do this on your own. There's somebody right now who is watching what you're going through and learning from what you're going through that's going to give them the wisdom and the knowledge to make it through that when they get to that point in their life. And guess what? You need other people to watch what they're going through, to get faith, to gain strength, to gain encouragement from them that you're only going to get if you're a part of a fellowship like this. Listen, you can be a part of sports leagues. That's cool. You can be a part of whatever other extracurricular thing that you like to do outside of this. And those are awesome and they're needed and they're wonderful. But guess what? Nothing has the potential and the power to impact your life like what you look around and see right now. You need this. We need you. I need you. Because as a Christian, our calling, our mission is to disciple each other. I need you to help me grow, and you need me, and you need each other to help each other grow. The last thing is this. Every Christian has a calling or mission to grow. 1 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and in the eternity. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we ought to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right to do, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of everyone you have for each other is increasing. Hebrews, you have two passages there. Isn't it funny that everything in life is supposed to grow? Think about it, just for a moment. Name one thing that's not supposed to grow. Huh? Weeds? No, that's the thing, is they're too good at it. Everything in life is supposed to grow. That's how God created it. And for some reason, we get this crazy, ridiculous idea that, nope, not as a Christian. No, sir, I need to get saved. Yes, you do, absolutely. But there's so much more past that. And so many of us want to get saved, and we want to get our name put on the Lamb's Book of Life, and we want to have that eternal salvation. We want to take care of all that stuff, but that's it. We don't want anything else. We don't want to grow. We think that for some reason, what God desires of us is to stay babies our entire Christian life. That's not true. In fact, listen, as a baby, can you teach something? Yes, but guess what? I don't want you to stay a baby. That's why I'm telling you this, because every Christian should grow. You should be growing in your Christian life. Next year at this time, you should do this. If you don't do don't pay attention to anything else I have to say today. Somewhere in your Bible, in a book, in a journal, in something, write down exactly where you are today in your Christian life. Next year, go back and look at it. If you're in the same spot, if you're battling with the same sin, if you're struggling with the same trust issues, if you're dealing with the same thing, you need to grow. Anybody ever got anybody in their life that doesn't take the advice you give them?
Every day.
Doesn't it just make you want to beat your head against the wall? Why? Because you know that if they would just listen, what's on the other side is better. Church, I promise you, when you grasp this, when you start growing, when you make this a priority in your life to grow in your faith, it's the best thing that will ever happen to you. I promise you, the absolute best thing that will ever happen to you. All this is neat and all this is great, but there's only one problem. We've already talked about how we can't do it by ourselves. Really, it's got to be something that our church does. As a church, Morningsport Baptist Church, we need to renew our mission. Hey, listen, it's easy when church gets busy, and I know you guys don't know this, but this is something I've made my life studying. When church gets busy, it's easy to lose your mission. I forget what day it was. Miss Sammy, you were here, so Thursday, maybe? Bless Miss Sammy's heart, man. We walked in. We had an air conditioning crew in one building. We had a carpentry crew in another building. We had landscape crews outside. Then we had concrete people working in another spot. And all this stuff was going on all over church. You know what I... Listen, I even came in early that day. I was at the hospital at 6:30. I was here by 7, no, 8. I was here by 8. I was going to get all kinds of stuff accomplished. You know how much I got done that day? Goose egg. Because it was so busy with all the stuff that was going on, and my focus got taken off on all these different things, and that's okay, and that's all right. But here's what happens, church. The busier we get, the more programs we have, the all these different things, the easier it becomes for you and I to lose our focus of what our mission truly is. But here's the other thing. We as a church need to renew our mission. You know the only way that happens? You renew your mission. Because as the individual Christian goes, is how the church fellowship goes. We need to renew our mission. We need to refocus our church. We need to refocus our energy and our mindset and what we're called to do as a church in this community. You know who does that? You. We can have planning meetings till we're blue in the face. We can have all the programs in place to help people grow. Doesn't mean a thing unless you renew your mission. Unless you make your life about sharing the gospel, about glorifying God. Unless you make your life about growing, about discipleship. Doesn't matter what we say or do in here. Glad we got a beautiful church to come to. Glad you guys are mostly smiling, friendly faces. I know you're glad you got a cool preacher like me. I'm with you. But here's the deal. If that's all we got, it's not enough. Listen, we got some... I was looking the other day at the calendar. Busy summer. We started the Vacation Bible School and it doesn't stop. All programs, all cool things. But if our mission is not on these four things... Our focus is not on these four things. Everything we do is just going to be white noise. So my prayer for you is this. I'm telling you as your pastor, this is my goal right now. These four things, I wrote them down so I'll remember them. I wrote them down and I'm remembering them. I'm putting them in front of my face every single day. Hey, John. How is your gospel conversations going? Hey, John, how's your growing going? Hey, John, are you renewing your response to the things that you're supposed to do? Because I want to renew these things in my life so the mission can be accomplished. I'm praying that you do too, that you will too. These four things will occupy your thoughts, will occupy your time, will occupy your mind, and you will commit today to renewing these things. Now, you say commit. That's a bad word, John. Yeah, I know. Anybody ever renew their vows? Nobody. Okay, that was a bad illustration. First ones took. Okay. Well, all right, so when people renew their vows, does it make them any more married? Make them any less married before that? No. What is it? It's renewing that passion. It's renewing that desire, that commitment, saying, hey, listen, doesn't make me any more, doesn't make me any less, but here's what I want to do. I want to renew this. I want to step back into it fresh again. My calling and my challenge for you, church, is renew your mission. Step back into it fresh. Step back into it passionately. God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you for what they've meant to me, what they've meant to my family. God, I love walking through life with them. God, I love them so much that I want the absolute best for them. God, I know that the absolute best comes from living a missional, purposeful, intentional life lived for you and you alone. So God, my prayer this morning is this, that you would help each of us as individuals to renew our mission. Father, that we would take stock, we would look at how we're doing in these four areas, in these four categories. God, we'd see if we've actually are living the missional life that you've called us to live, or if we've kind of lost our focus for a moment. God, if we have, then my prayer this morning is this, is that you, through the power and the work of your Holy Spirit, would help us renew our mission. God, as the individuals in this church renew their mission, God, that we as your body, as your fellowship, as believers united together for the cause of Christ, would renew our mission. God, that we would be a church that would live for your glory, that everything that is done, from the programs, to the songs, to the services, to the hugs, to the handshakes, to the high fives, would be about your glory. But God, we would also continue and we would share your gospel with the country, with the community, with neighbors who need to hear it desperately. God, that this church would be a church, Father, that disciples each other, that we grow, we learn from each other, and we do life together, and that helps us become the absolute best Christians we can be for you. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that's growing. We'd be taking steps to become more like your Son, Jesus, every day. Lord, we love you, we thank you. As we worship you now, Lord, do what only you can do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.